5:30, first up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Different communities have different things. Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual is not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes from January 21st, 2025, our last meeting. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The minutes are approved. Lights are good. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
I'll make a motion to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion is second on the claims. Questions, comments on the claims?
I need to abstain from my claim.
Okay. Any other comments? Let's roll call. With the claims are approved with Councilmember Weber abstaining on her line item. Item number 5 is in process.
Let's skip to 6.
So we'll go to 6. Action on application certificate of payment number 15 in the amount of $218,267 to Audi Construction Company LLC for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project.
And Bob will not be able to join us, but he said everything looked good on him that he recommends approving. So.
All right. Keith, you got anything to share about the project?
It's progressing. as we've come a long way in the last month and so forth, but we're still waiting. We got a delivery of cabinets last Friday. That does not take care of all the cabinets being on site. We have a couple issues with a few cabinets. They're remaking them and so forth, but we're still progressing forward. It's going to be tight to reach our goal of being completed by the end of February here and getting things operational or some type of occupancy by the 1st of March and so forth, but it's not completely out of the question right now. So we've got a lot of guys in there working on different things. So
beautiful.
Questions?
I haven't been here for a while, though.
I know. That's been real nice. You know that's all unjust, Matt.
I'm used to it. My only question is, how did we go from 2 months ago where we were pretty, you know, we were on schedule to now we are
We had some paint issues. So trying to get the proper colors to suffice with the architects, specifically the design interior design gals and so forth. They are very particular as to their shading and so forth, so we got that ironed out. We sent in about 5 different submittals trying to get a couple of paint colors satisfied.
How was that not decided on before we kind of started this project, though?
The colors were decided on, okay? So the architect did their job and so forth. It's always, so they picked some Sherwin-Williams colors, if I have everything correct on this, okay? And when you take the Sherwin-Williams colors and you make a drawdown, you make a gallon of paint, and they mix that formula, which is up on the back side of the card, that tells you how much black, red, purple, and everything. And when you do that, you will get some variance. Very minor variance for what I'm going to say the typical person. I'm a typical person. I'm not going to see a paint color and go, oh, that looks a little bit too red or too pink or too purple and stuff like that. But those that have very technical eyes, such as interior designers, they do. And so we are always off just a little bit and so forth. So basically, we submitted on the same paint color about 4 times till we got the mixture just right that they said, fine. Okay. And so it's always a tough situation for a contractor going, we are submitting on what you've asked us to do. There's human variances, computer variances that are going into these. And so if the shade isn't quite right, and they're basing it off of a lot of times off of a 4x6, maybe a 6x12 card that they've had, that they have had made up by a paint supplier. And so then two different things are coming in. Even though it's Sherwin-Williams, you got Sherwin-Williams down Lincoln versus Sherwin-Williams in North Fork, Sioux City. Those machines that are making it are going to have some variances with it. That's the best explanation I can tell you. It is mad, okay? You can't believe how frustrated I was on Sebille number 5. And their answer was, is not on one of the return submittals, their answer was, it's not warm enough. So how do you answer that? So you resubmit, okay? I have a way to answer that, but it's not positive. I mean, stick it outside and let the sun shine on it. It'll warm it up, so that doesn't work. So that's that answer, well, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, the explanation we got was, well, there's a 2-week delay because couldn't come up with a paint color, choose the paint color. And my question was, and I was gone for a couple of meetings, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, okay, it's not that complicated. Been there before, you know, choosing colors and how it all works. So,
I would agree. I was kind of in on a little bit with that, and it was complicated. It was very complicated because the color was, you know, the color they had picked. But yeah, when they did the final, they looked at the sample. I looked at them, and I had a hard time.
I would venture to guess that 99.9% of the people who walked through, they would never know. So. But we finally met.
It's perfect now.
So
we don't have any way in that process to chime in and say, it looks good. Is that because liability in case someone does come back and say, this looks like it has too much pink in it or something? I mean, this seems kind of insane. I mean, I know you agree with me, but I mean, it just seems
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak on the law side of it, okay, unfortunately. If my painter would have come back and said, enough's enough, we need to draw the line in the sand, and we were real close to drawing the line in the sand, I don't know how that would, I have no idea how that would come out of the court law. That would not be my first avenue. We basically got them up, we tried to get them up here and stuff and take a look at this and see, I mean, what's going on.
Yeah.
And, I finally had to talk to Bob Sokup, who's the chief architect overseeing this project, and get him to talk to his design interiors to, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And Bob explained it to me. I got him on the phone with the paint rep who was putting the paint colors together. The paint rep says, okay, I think I can come up with this. So should I have stepped to the table sooner on that? Probably. But it happened.
Should have went with white.
Could have gone with white.
Oh, there's lots of shades of white.
Yeah.
Which
shade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
shade
yeah.
of
eggshell
or the other
eggshell
one?
Eggshell 243.
Matt, it's been and to the whole council, it's been extremely frustrating from our standpoint, from Audi Construction standpoint, the Lancashire painting, because we thought we were doing everything correctly and trying to get this thing going in the right fashion. One time we even submitted a couple of samples of the same color. I looked at them, I said, they looked the same to me. I don't know, one came back too bright, one came back too dark. And I don't, they must wear special glasses. So talk to Doug Pearson. He'll be able to fill you all in. So, and Doug is, I mean, Doug's a great resource, so.
A couple other things, carpet, is all the carpet in?
No.
Because I know we were short some, so we had ordered some, correct?
Correct. Okay. It is not all in yet.
Okay. When are we anticipating?
I believe that is supposed to be showing up here the week of the 10th, next week.
That'd be way sooner than I thought, because they said there was a 6 to 7 week, and that was mid-January when we gave the okay. So I was thinking it'd be the first part of March.
Okay. Right. I will check and get an answer. Okay. We're getting different.
I think that was from Tate. I think Tate said it looks like it's six to seven weeks out.
I will call our paint or our carpet guy and talk to him tomorrow. And I can report back to Wes. I can
get out to council.
And then you can get out to the council.
Okay, which is also delaying a lot of trim work, correct?
Very little trim work.
Okay.
Very little. Okay. So if you were to go into the council chambers now, you have your new seating arrangement done. The paneling on the back wall is done. We're still finishing up a couple things coming off the sides and so forth. So that type of trim work is done. Cabinetry 70%, 75% complete everywhere. So those things are able to keep going without the carpet and so forth. So,
okay.
Because the floorings that we needed down before the carpet or before like the bathroom fixtures and all that stuff go down, that's in. That's installed already.
Okay. And the police station. So are we on schedule with that for sooner rather than later? Because we, you know, you're talking the end of February, possibly?
Right. Yep.
Are we talking the whole building or are we just talking
city? Nope, talking the whole building.
Okay.
That is the goal. I gotta get through. I gotta have occupancy, I gotta have
right.
Building permits signed off and so forth that give us possibly, I mean, temporary occupancy or an occupancy that says got to do this, got to do that yet, and so forth. But the main things is we got to have egress, got to have the fire alarm system working, and we have to have the exterior egress things working and so forth like that. And that is, the lighting is moving along very nicely. The fire alarm stuff is moving along very nicely and things like that. Right now, if you were to walk in there, the simple answer is the state fire marshal will not allow us to have some type of temporary occupancy. There's too much debris on the floors and stuff like that. We don't have safe passage and way out. So
I hope we can work closely to get the fire marshal signed off and Joel's stamp or whatever he needs to do to get you in there.
I've been working with Todd, but I mean, Joel's been up there a couple of times. Mostly, it's, I think it's still being handled by Todd.
He's doing inspection.
But if we're looking at end of February, I mean, it's seeming real now. But the main point I'm trying to drive here is that I want to get a point where we can have an open house.
Right.
But it's like one of those things where like we need to know. We don't want to have it be too late because the city staff are going to want to start moving in, but we don't want them there. We want the public to come in and view what they paid for, because then it's like, well, you'll never be able to see the recesses of the police department unless you're on the bad side of Chief Chin. So it's kind of a one-shot thing that we want to get.
Right. I would not plan it for the first half of March. I would not plan for an open house the first part of March.
But a council meeting the first part of March.
I think the soonest you're probably going to get a council meeting in there is probably going to be the second.
First Tuesday.
Third Tuesday of the month. The first Tuesday is the 5th. Okay, so I'm not sure that that's going to all come together. It'd be my wishes, but I'm cautioning you on that.
Okay.
Because there's always things that come up that we have to, that we miss or something like that.
Obviously, the council meetings are once, the inviting the public in, that's a one-shot thing.
Yeah.
And we can float on that. That's not as...
And as I continue to gather more information, I can continue to update Wes. I can reach out to Wes once a week and give him an update, and then he can send it out. So.
One last thing, state electrical inspector.
Yep.
Are they able to do, parts rather than all at once?
If needed. But we'll have it all done. That's the least of my, that one's the least of my concern.
What is the most of your concern?
Cabinetry.
Really?
Getting the last couple of pieces in. So, full disclosure on the cabinetry. We had a subcontractor that said he could do it. He was not substantially. He was about $30,000 less expensive than the next high, and the next high was, the second high was probably another $20,000 lower than the next one. First one, we kept asking for shop drawings, shop drawings, shop drawings, shop drawings. He was not performing. I had to go through some litigation steps to make sure that my ducks were in a row. I had to basically can that subcontractor before I could move on. He kept promising things, they never came true, so I just finally drew the line in the sand, cut it off, and went forward and so forth. But before I did that, I had to have my ducks in a row to see who I could get to do that and go forward with that. So it's costing, so we were behind. I mean, and that's on us. That's on Audi Construction. The only person you can blame for that is Audi Construction, on me not stepping to the table sooner and canning the guy. But you don't ever like to can people, but sometimes you just have to. Okay? So that's my big, I mean, that's my big. Thankfully, they've stepped to the table. Custom Woodworks, who does a lot of cabinetry, and they've done a lot of cabinetry in the city of Wayne, up at Wayne State College campus and stuff. They have stepped to the table, and they've been helping us out. So, but they can't, at the same token, drop all their other stuff just to take care of us. So.
Any questions for Keith?
I'll move to approve the application and certificate of payment number 15 in the amount of $218,267 to Audi Construction Company, LLC for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? It's roll call. All right. And we'll do the next one to get Keith out of here. Action on application and certificate of payment number 5 in the amount of $54,333 to Audi Construction Company, LLC for the Wayne Parks and Rec Maintenance Building. Anything to add on this one, Keith?
The building is in the dry. The roof is done. It took a long time to get the roof on, which some of you have probably observed and watched. But it did get completed on Friday of last week and so forth. So that's a good thing, which allows us to get going. The electrician has been in there working, getting all of his items installed. There's a note on the drawings to install as much as electrical inside the wall cavities as possible, which means on a steel building you have an 8-inch girt or it's an open space, and then it gets insulated. We've got to get all of that electrical in before we can start putting the liner panel and the vapor barrier up on the inside. The electrician has about 50% of it installed, which would be the west wall and the north wall, and now he's working his way around to the other two walls to keep going. The problem with that is sometimes electrical inspectors put their feet down and don't want to come in and inspect just parts and pieces and so forth, but I think we've got that worked out, that he should be showing up this week to get us some clearance on a couple of those things. So the metal wall, the wash bay walls, they're being framed right now and so forth, so then the electrician can continue to move into that area. The plumber's been on site getting some things ready to go, and now that we've got most of it in, enclosed and so forth, I'm foreseeing that they'll start coming in and starting hooking up their boilers and getting some of the gas ran and getting that going and getting the floor heat turned on. If we can't get the floor heat turned on, we do have propane, not propane, they're mixed heaters. We've got natural gas heaters that we'll bring over and we'll blast that space in order to finish the drywall or whatever needs to be done if it doesn't work. So that project, I'm very pleased with what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Extremely pleased. Before that, I was getting real frustrated with the steel erectors and stuff, but you're running panels, and if you got 20 mile an hour winds and you're up there on a 2.5 pitch roof on metal, I'm not going to say it's impossible to walk, but it makes it challenging, and then with the wind. So everybody thinks, well, it's only 2.5 per 12, which seems flat, which it is flat, but it's slick as slick can be with a metal roof, with the dust. So. Other questions? That gives you an update on that one.
Yep.
I'll approve the action on application certificate of payment number 5 in the amount of $54,333 to Audi Construction for the Wayne Park and Rec Maintenance Building Project.
Second. Motion second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Keith?
It is approved. Thanks for swinging by, Keith.
Thank you.
I appreciate the updates.
I will
see you March 5th.
I reach out to our carpeting guy and find out if I can get you a better update, okay?
That's good.
Since Wes and I are not on the same page, so.
Thank you.
You're more optimistic.
Thank you.
All right, jumping back to item number five, presentation of the fiscal year 23-24 audits. Marcy, can you hear us?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go for it. The floor is yours.
Super. I cannot take the video off. I think the host has it blocked on your end, so I'm just going to talk on the black screen.
We'll try to fix that for you.
We did meet with the audit committee and finance committee about 4:30 today and went through the audit report. And so there's a 105-page audit report that we've gone through in detail. There we go. Thank you. So today I want to focus on a two-page benchmarking spreadsheet. Those of you that are on council or have been on in prior years are familiar with this. But it really just gives you guys a little bit of a trend of where the city of Wayne has been historically over the last 5 years. It also does some comparisons to other communities your size across the state of Nebraska. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to run through that. And otherwise, I think your comrades that are on the Audit and Finance Committee can fill you in on the dreary details of the audit reports. On this benchmarking spreadsheet, what we see first of all is the City of Wayne's valuation runs less than the cities we're comparing to on a per capita basis. And as they mentioned in our earlier meeting, you know, you guys have Wayne State, there's a lot of public property in your community, and so just less valuation per capita that's available to support your property taxes. Your unrestricted net assets compared to total net assets, as a target, we'd like to see that be somewhere between 25 and 40%.
Marcy, hold on one second.
Governmental or utility. Your utility funds are there, but the governmental funds are lighter than what we would like to see.
Marcy,
it's pretty consistent.
Can I stop you for 1 second? I think we didn't have the benchmarking in front of everybody here.
It's too attractive. I just can't turn my screen.
Okay. It should be front cover right here.
That's what she's going over right now. Do you need that? Did you get what you needed?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody have one?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you have
one. Everybody
has one?
Okay, ready to rock and roll now. I think we were just caught off guard a little bit.
So
you're ready.
So yeah, we're talking ratios, and that first ratio is just simply looking at what you have for available equity. And the governmental, as we see in a lot of communities, is a little bit lighter than what we would see. That's an area that we would target. If there are any additional revenue sources that can bring that up, it seems like there's never an ending demand for expenses for a governmental entity, but just an area that we would focus on trying to increase. Your revenue sources under number two, you'll see a lot of consistency as you look back over history, except for the grants. The grants can vary from year to year, but as you compare to your peer group average, you see that your sales tax does run less than what we see in the communities that we're comparing to. And as you compare those other things, your property taxes are less. You have less valuation. You also have a lighter levy in a lot of cases compared to your peers. Under the state allocation, item number three, again, a lot of consistency over the last 5 years. You guys run a little bit less on highway allocation, but quite a bit more on municipal equalization. Now, they mentioned in the meeting that we had at 4 o'clock that, you know, the state has talked about, are they going to change the way they dole out municipal equalization? That could have an impact on the city if they do change that formula, because you guys do receive quite a bit in the way of needy equalization. If they do that, it'll probably put some additional pressure on the need to levy more property taxes for your community. Item number four looks at expenses per capita. This is primarily the general fund that we're talking about. And it's hard to compare to other communities because all communities have different priorities and different things that they offer as far as services. But if you look back over history, you see a lot of consistency year to year on what you're spending per capita. Your debt has increased this last year as shown in number five. You're still in the good category as far as ability to service that debt with your overall valuation compared to the outstanding governmental debt. but it has moved from the excellent to good category, just with the issuance of additional bonds this year. Unassigned fund balance compared to your total general fund, you know, in the ideal world, we as auditors would like to see that be about 30%. The city is way lighter than that, and there was a lot of discussion on, well, you know, we're using our dollars, we're rolling it back into the city, we don't want cash just sitting there. I think there's a happy medium. We as auditors would like to see a little bit more in reserve just to be able to be responsive as certain new projects might come up, but that's an area that we see a lot of communities struggle with lighter than what we as auditors would like to see for unrestricted dollars. Item number 7 is the street cash. Here, if it's about 12 months of cash, it indicates to us that the dollars have gotten turned back into your city streets. You guys have been building, you're at about 37 months, which indicates to us there's probably a large street project on the horizon that's going to use that cash back down. Item number 8 looks at your levy. And as I mentioned earlier, you guys run a little bit lighter than your peer group average, and you can see that this past year, 24, your levy actually decreased compared to where you had been. Item number 9 looks at how depreciated your capital assets are. So when your net book value falls below 35% of original cost, it indicates to us there may be an upcoming large capital expenditure needed. Your utility funds are there. They're right at that 35% level, while your governmental funds are above that. So we would anticipate maybe a short-term need for utility capital outlay. Item number 10, to build that cash reserve for capital outlay, our target is a 15% operating ratio for your utility funds. You can see that in 24, your electric and sewer funds decreased a bit. They had higher expenses and lower revenue, so it was a combination of the two that resulted in coming in under that 15% target this year. Item number 11, though, shows that the utilities are still in good shape as far as ability to service debt. They're all over that 1.5 benchmark that we've got. And then finally, number 12 is just a formula that our firm has put together to say, hey, if we had the optimal situation, how much cash do we think you should have as unrestricted in the general fund? We base this on the amount it takes to operate the general fund and anticipated upcoming capital expenditures. In that situation, we'd like to see that unrestricted cash be at about 3.7, and you guys are right at $500,000. You have put a lot of dollars into capital recently, so if we eliminate that capital replacement component, we would be comparing about 2.5 target to the $500,000 that you have in unrestricted. Your business type or utilities, our target would be about $11 million, and you guys are at about 5.5 right now. So the utilities have increased a bit while the governmental side decreased this past year. The page numbers that are noted on here tie back into the audited financial, and as I mentioned, that's 105 pages of audited financials, really reduced to 12 ratios. The important things to note on the audit, you received an unmodified opinion, which is always what you want when you go through an audit. That's what it says on page 3. Also, you guys did spend more than $750,000 of federal rewards, and so we did the additional single audit procedures regarding those federal rewards. Everything came out very well as far as the compliance and the control requirements on the federal filings, and that's always important. When you're receiving those federal grants, you want clean reports going in that support your utilization of those funds, and everything came out very well. It was the airport improvement program that we did the deep dive additional testing on this year. So I tried to keep it really quick for tonight. I'll turn it back to you guys if anyone has any questions, or if anyone from the audit or finance committee has additional comments that you want to make on that.
Comments from the audit committee, questions for Marcy? No real new surprises, I guess. This is kind of, if you've been through one of these, not too much changing other than, you know, we've done some huge projects, which are affecting the numbers. So, with that, thanks, Marcy.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
soon as you handed it to me.
Okay. Next up is item number 8, getting back to the regularly scheduled programming. It's our public hearing for our 1 and 6 year street improvement program. I will open the public hearing. Joel, kick us off, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Joel Hanson, Street Planning Director. As said in the packet, this is an annual planning activity required by the state to get our highway allocation dollars. Les and I have had some discussion. Right now, our plan kind of looks more like a wish list than an actual plan. I'm not going to run through every project. I did want to highlight the one-year projects. In order to do something this year, it has to be on the one-year plan. So you're going to see the sidewalk out to Baumgars that we've been talking about. We have the community grant from. And then the Vance Hill 4th Edition paving. And the bottom one, Sawyer Edition, is you're going to see a preliminary plat before you hit the next meeting. And that's down west of Prairie Park, the old Loggy area. So there's a potential housing development down there. And so they're going forward with a TIF project. And so that's why that's on there, is I think they're hoping they can turn some dirt yet this year and get started. So we have those two projects on there as well as our sidewalk project. The other thing I want to highlight, new projects that came on that were not on last year are going to be down in 2028, which we've got 21st Street and Centennial Road we've talked about, the 4th Street project we talked about. Below that, it says Centennial Road from East 4th to East 14th widening. That street right now has no curbs and it's 20 foot wide. The street we're doing to the north up to 21st Street is 36 foot wide. So I'm proposing we would add 4 foot on each side of that street with curbs to make that more of an urbanized project. And also with the width of the equipment and stuff that's out there, you know, the counties, when they did the south side of the highway, they actually had rock shoulders because we know the equipment's going off the pavement. So, and what we're proposing is we've talked to the county about those three projects becoming one and going for a federal grant. So we're going to have a call here with Department of Transportation to talk about what that might happen. Yes, Austin.
Sorry to interrupt you, Joel. Is that East 4th Street and Thomas Street, 2,300 foot? Is that 2026 or 2028?
It should be 2028.
Okay.
It should be, yeah. Sorry about that. So those three, if we would get funding, there's potential for 100%. That doesn't mean we would get 100%, but again, once we get on, the Department of Transportation has on-call firms that will help you with, we would start with a planning grant, because two of those projects are fairly well designed for construction, but they skip the part that's going to be required for federal dollars, which is environmental study and some of that work. So we'd have to tie those plans up for bidding first with a planning grant, and then we'd be looking at a construction grant hopefully after that. And of course, that's all depending on if that federal money is still available or not to apply for. So,
Joel, is the county seriously on board?
Yep, we discussed that with them, and you know they're open to a conference call to discuss the projects with Department of Transportation. You know, the funding question, if we don't get 100%, then that comes back to the elected officials on what they would be willing to share. I will add that they brought to our attention the last project in 2020 is actually a county project. It's the bridge that's north of the airport. And once we annexed the airport, we assumed ownership of the east half of that bridge and the county road adjacent to the airport. So they're going to do something with that. They're going to also have to work with you on replacing that bridge, whether that's cost share or just permission to work on your road and your bridge, because you own half of it. So that's why that's on there, to make everyone aware that that's sitting out there too. So they may request that they would throw that into, we did a joint application for federal dollars, so that might be they would ask that bridge get put in along with those three road projects as part of a bigger project for federal grants. But I do have maps too, and I'd be glad to answer. Again, I don't want to take your time to go through every project individually. If you have questions about it or anything, you're always welcome to email me or call me too at times to discuss, but that's the plan we're bringing forward. And again, you know, we just heard about potential equalization funds going away, you know, having to raise the tax levy just to recoup those funds. I'm not the electric department or the water wastewater department. I can't come for you and ask you to increase the user rates. There are no user rates. The streets are funded somehow else through the property tax, sales tax, whatever. There would have to be actually an increase in a levy or something happen to be able to fund this kind of level of projects. And we'll apply for grants, but obviously we would not be able to apply for all of these projects to be federally funded.
Any other questions for Joel? I'm guessing there's no one else here wishing to speak at this public hearing. Look at the audience. So I will close the public hearing. Item number nine is resolution 2025-7, approving 1 and 6 year street improvement program. This is what Joel just presented on.
I'll introduce resolution 2025-7 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? It's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 10 is resolution 2025-8, authorizing city staff to request and apply for the Nebraska Department of Economic Development for an extension of the completion to April 18th, 2025. For community development block grant number 22 for public works. Wes.
First thing I look at there should probably be 2026 because we're completion date to April 18th because currently our deadline is 2025. So I'll have to make that amendment if you pass the resolution. This is the grant for 7th Street project that we've had what I called last time a disaster of a project. To get DOT to review. They had it in their hands for about 9 months. That's why we're very, very much delayed on this project. JEO actually had an engineer that they reassigned during the project, and that created a little bit of a delay as well. But then the state was the biggest delay of it. Reasons for delay. We had 8 inlets, I believe, designed for, the state told us we needed 8 inlets, and JEO went back to them. I think we got down to 4 or 5?
4 or 5.
So, still looking at about an $880,000 to $900,000 project, but we definitely need the extension. This is the one that would hopefully come before you the first meeting in March, likely still in this building, to be approved approve the successful bidder, the low bid. So anyway, we just need to pass this resolution so we can submit to the state to get us an extension. We work through the district. The district helps us with all of this.
And although the title here on the agenda is incorrect, the guts of the resolution are correct.
Okay.
So.
I'll introduce resolution 2025-8, move for approval with the change date in the heading to the extension to the completion date to April 18th, 2026.
Second.
April 18th, yeah. Motion and second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The resolution is approved. Item number 11 is ordinance 2025-2, amending Wayne Municipal Code Title 7, Traffic and Vehicles, Parking Section 78-142, restricted parking from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday on certain streets. This is a direct reflection from the conversations we've had at the last few council meetings. And this is split in between two because it pertains to two different sections of city code.
Yes.
Anything to add?
Not really. It's doing what Dr. Lenahan had asked if we didn't want to do the full-blown restriction of parking to take each parking restriction down by 1 hour on the streets. So
what is it currently? Would we go from 7 to 8?
So we'd be going from, yes, it's currently 7 to 9, we'd go from 7 to 8, and 3 to 5 would now be 3 to 4.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, the change is not in the title.
Yes.
The title
just
was,
that's why I'm just double checking.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Matt. I have two questions. Do we need to waive 3 readings? That's the first question. Second question, do we have signs if we waive 3 readings to be installed tomorrow?
We have any signs.
We do not have signs, but the waiving would, the school said that yes, they would, I guess if you had to ask, I asked Dr. Lenahan, he said sure, I would, I guess, prefer the 3 readings waived. Okay. But that's up to you.
Any idea when these signs would be coming in?
Well, they're custom orders, so I'm going to guess 3 to 4 weeks tops.
From when they ordered or today?
From when we order them.
So, which would have been 2 weeks ago?
We have not.
No,
no, we haven't heard until you pass the final approval of those ordinance.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here, Marlon, you approve it tonight, it's on the books, but it can't be enforced until the signs are up anyway.
Correct.
Is that how that works? Okay.
Well, and it wouldn't be,
black Sharpie and
yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be really enforced anyways because you're lessening the restriction, so there's nothing if somebody violated it and parked there.
You just would, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you just bring a ticket.
So I wasn't here for the last meeting, and from what I was told, it was quite a long one, but how much are we gonna spend in signs to replace all these signs? Because I'm assuming it's not just at the school, it's.
No, no, it's just.
He did brief us on this.
Maybe four signs, that, you know, say $25, $30 a sign.
Okay, I was under the impression that like the 3 to 5 ones that are all over town would have to be replaced as well.
Just a section of town, yep, just two streets.
Okay.
Douglas and Sherman.
Yep.
The first one is Douglas.
Like I said, I'd probably rehashing things and giving people flashbacks, I just wanted to make sure.
Trauma.
Trauma.
It's 7:30.
I'm leaving.
It's the only question I had.
I'll introduce ordinance 2025-2 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and second, any discussion?
Yes, I support both of these, and I hope they pass, I don't think they go nearly far enough, and I think we should be able to cede to the school some kind of control over that terrace right there when we have another taxpayer-funded institution, a hypotenuse across the city block away that has the exact same control. I have no idea why we can't do that.
Never use the word hypotenuse, I don't think.
Agreed.
We used to live there, so.
All right, motion and second on the floor, let's roll call. Ordinance is approved.
I'll make a motion to waive three readings.
Second.
Motion and second, any discussion? Let's roll call. Ordinance is approved.
I'll make a motion for final approval.
Second.
Motion and a second, any discussion on the final? Seeing none, let's roll call. Ordinance is finally approved. Item number 12 is ordinance 2025-3, amending the Wayne Municipal Code as described.
This does it on the other street.
Introduce ordinance 2025-3 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second, any discussion? Roll call.
I'll make a motion to waive three readings.
Second.
Motion and a second, let's roll call.
I'll move for final approval.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second, any discussion?
Yes. Price just said any other one, doesn't matter. Regardless, I was contacted by someone at the school, and you know, their concern was, you know, a household that has three kids, you know, mom and dad have vehicles, kids have vehicles, you know, and they're juggling cars in the morning, you know, because mom has to leave first for work, so someone gets in the car and they move it, you know, so why would residents close to the school be treated any different than someone that lives in another part of town? So why should they have that special treatment where just because they have that school parking lot across the street where just because it's there, they don't have to do the same thing what everyone else does if they have multiple cars and driveways?
And I sympathize with some of the people who spoke at the last meeting because I'm working with, depending on whose home, I have 7 vehicles that I'm working with in a smaller driveway. Thank God Donner Pass has overnight parking on the streets. Don't get any ideas, please, about changing that because I would be in real trouble. I don't have the advantage of terrace parking right across the street. I also lived down that street for about 10 years, and I did occasionally use that school parking lot for my own vehicles, but I made sure that it was only during nights and weekends and holidays, and I would never let it sit there for day after day after day.
And there are quite a few residents that do the shuffle. Yeah. Me being one of them every day.
Every single day.
And so it is what it is, you know, but there's a lot of folks that have to do that in this community, and so I agree with you.
There would be the one potential solution that I did see was the reason on the, let me get my directions right, on the north side of, I believe it's, is it 4th Street? On the north side of 4th Street is no parking midnight to 5. The reason that it's no parking midnight to 5 is because of the length of the, or the width of the street and emergency vehicles having to get through. As Marlon pointed out at the last meeting, the parking lot that's on the south side there along the school is considered an extension of the street. So the times when the overnight parking that is not allowed is midnight to 5 is when there are no vehicles parked along the school, so now you have that open parking lot. So if an emergency vehicle did need to get through, midnight to 5 is the time where they could get through because there's nobody parked there. So one option would be just along that street to eliminate the midnight to 5, because then they can park there midnight to 5 and no cars after 5, they can park there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and the street is actually narrower after 5 in the morning when teachers are coming, and now you can park on the street versus when teachers are not there. So
you're saying if there was no parking on the terrace, then the emergency vehicle could utilize the terrace?
No, so midnight to 5, nobody's parked on the terrace other than those, the people from the neighbors, right?
Yep.
But the neighbors, if you eliminated the no parking midnight to 5 on the north side of 4th Street, they could park on the street along their house overnight. And now emergency vehicles can still get through because nobody's parked in that parking lot at the school.
So they're using the terrace.
So they're, yeah, so the emergency vehicles can get around and use that terrace because it's an extension of the street.
The emergency vehicles, and maybe Joel, you know more of this, but they're worried about the extenders, right? That's what the...
Well, I was going to say the terrace parking is not considered part of the street because unless the curb was... I'll give you an example. The parking that would be considered part of the street is down here on Pearl Street, right in the block south here from 2nd and 3rd, because the curb turns the corner and just keeps going straight. But in this instance, you have a radius curb coming in, then you join back in to get to the park, and then it goes along, and then you've got back out to the curb on the other corner. So the terrace is actually not, it's paid for parking, but it's not considered part of the traveled street.
I guess I was just saying that it's actually more narrow after 5 in the morning because now you have people parked on the terrace and parked on the street.
And it depends because there's no overnight regulation on the terrace, so that's, in theory, that could work, but the problem is that didn't stop anybody. Anybody can park at the terrace any time of night.
Right, so you probably have to do both.
If you're not going to restrict one, then you should be restricting the other.
Mm-hmm. It's just an option, and then the property owners could park on the street in front of their house.
You know, and we have property owners in the community that they will pave that extra driveway space. So, you know, that gives them that extra parking for a 16-year-old that's now driving, because we do have another car in a driveway. Mm-hmm. I mean, my first house, granted, I probably was terrace parking and could have been private parking, or it could have been public parking, but I used it because I wanted to get a vehicle off the street. You know, people that are there, they have that option too, to pay the expense to have concrete put down, you know, that goes all the way to their garage or all the way up to the garage door, so it is considered driveway. So
I think
they're
people
spend money for that premium parking, you know, in their own property. And you know, I'm kinda like with Dwayne, I really sympathize with those teachers at school because they're really limited. And I want to do something. I want to find a solution that, you know, both the people that live there, live close to the school, and also the teachers that work there, you know, are happy with a decision that we have made. There's still a part of me that feel the school is somewhat neglecting the need of their teachers, though, too. Like, I think the school should have addressed that years ago when, you know, okay, we're going to build a huge addition onto the school here, but we're not going to have any parking.
I agree with that.
It's like, okay.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
And
so,
I also want to, I understand why the council last time said, let's wait and see what will happen when this other building opens. But folks, the other building opening is going to relieve congestion inside the building. There might be just as much, if not more, outside the building. As you open a second building, you need a second lunch staff, you know, kitchen staff, you need more maintenance workers. We're going to be expanding the teaching staff. It might be the same problem in the fall, even though we have more classroom space. It's also a safety issue. It's a safety issue too. I know if there's a fence there, but kids are unpredictable. So I would just like to, at some point, the council to consider giving the school some ceding to the school some control over that terrace, while I sympathize completely with the people who live in that neighborhood.
I do agree with you. I think we just need to pause until August, because there's so much unknown. You know, you can predict, like, well, it should be less. Okay, so August, we realized, like, yeah, it's not less. Like, okay, I think then we definitely need to have a strong look at it and make adjustments from there.
I would like to look into that, sorry. No, I'd like to look into that emergency vehicle thing. Like, if they could utilize the terrace, or if the slope of it's gonna make it dangerous and it's not usable, because then you could flip the parking restrictions.
To the terrace instead of the...
That would be...
I think that's a great compromise.
I'm surprised to learn that.
Yeah, that might be the point.
The snowplow still can't go where the cars are parked.
Yeah.
It doesn't solve for the winter emergency, but it might solve the juggling problem. I also just, and then I'll cede it back to you, Jason, but it is kind of a, you know, the residents chose to live there, knowing that the school was there, but the school creates a lot of parking problems for them personally, too. I mean, you gotta think, you know, I lived near the college once, and there was times where, maybe it wasn't my house, but I parked at location right next to the college a lot. And there were times where you couldn't back out of the driveway because somebody's bumper, they'd parked illegally, you know, a foot over the lane. And that's like, you get a lot of these problems that are created, so the problems go both ways. So, and it's not the school's fault that somebody parks illegally, but it's just the nature of living in this society.
The location.
Yeah, it's the location. And I sympathize with Barner. You know, we looked at his property and it was like, okay, if he wanted to add one parking stall to his property, he was gonna have to like take out a tree, and then he was gonna only gain, like, he's looked like it was gonna be tens of thousands of dollars to gain one parking spot. That somebody could still like sneak in and park on his property. It's insane. That terrace law needs to be fixed at the state level, as far as I'm concerned. It's a nuisance. Jason, sorry, I interrupted.
Oh no, I'm backtracking now, but I think I agree that the school is responsible for some of this, and usually in these particular cases, schools will start buying up property around, you know, old houses or whatever the case may be, until they can maybe get a house or two, and then ultimately build parking. And so this issue, you know, came about regarding, you know, that particular location, and I've heard the history about, you know, polishing this old turd, right? And now we're having these issues. But I think the school, you know, they have an obligation too for their own teachers to figure out parking. You know, there have been houses around that block that have been for sale over the last 10 years, and they are great houses. Not a lot of them, I mean, as far as whatever. And that's what you got to do. The college did that, you know. And I know there's the coffers are a little deeper and stuff, but you got to start preparing for the future in regard to that place.
It's mind-blowing that you can pay for parking on your own property and have it be considered public. That's tough. All right, we do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Joel is coming.
I was just going to point out those terraces around there are all wider. So like on the north side of the street, that terrace is wide enough to pay for more angle parking. The terrace on the east side of the school is wide enough to pay for more angle parking. So there are places that people are willing to pay for putting the pavement in. There are other places to gain parking.
All right, let's roll call. Ordinance is finally approved. At number 13 is appointments. I'm leaving some of these blank, but I'm going to put forth Austin Hauser to the audit committee, which will be very awkward if you don't approve him because he's already been through an audit committee meeting. And Brittany Weber to the Wayne America board. I'm going to leave. I still got a few people to talk to. I know there's other interest in the building committee. We still have a couple council members who aren't involved on any committees.
Just joined.
So I'd like to get them involved. So we might do some shuffling. If you're not interested in serving on something that you're on right now, let me know, and we can shuffle around. Otherwise, I'll be talking to you about replacing that one. And as far as the problem resolution team goes, that's two members from the public that we are still seeking volunteer. You know, we could conscript them. Maybe we can work that into the law somehow. But those two names is what I'm putting forward for tonight, Austin and Brittany.
I'll make a motion to approve council member for the audit committee, Austin Hauser, and council member Weber for the Wayne America Board.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Two appointments are confirmed. Item number 14 is an update from Dave Peterson, JEO Consulting Group, on companies that submitted proposals for Southwest Power Pool Market Participant Duty. And Dave, you can come up here. I'm not sure what we're all going to have for you. Do we want to go into closed session to this?
We want to talk names and numbers. I would definitely.
There are confidential numbers.
Motion that we go into closed session. Council, stay it on. Let's break it.
Yep, just do it.
Amy, Miller, Betty, and
Dave. Let's be the.
Yeah.
And Dave. Dave Peterson.
And financials to the city and.
Oh, yeah, you guys.
To protect, nope.
Jill, you got to stay.
Jill, can you state the purpose to protect the financial interest?
To protect the financial interest of the city.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second to go into closed session. Any discussion? Roll call. We are in closed session. Motion and a second. Come out of closed session.
Second.
Discussion.
Any of these guys down here?
Call or ask Wes, I mean.
Roll call. We are adjourned.
Ooh, can't wait till all the energy is done.
It's almost done. Then you're going to be longer to talk about.
I mean, I've learned a lot. I really have.